That was fun. That was amazing. Folks, we're at a special spot today. It's not Super Bowl Sunday. That's not what I'm thinking about. We're halfway through a series that we started back in September. This series entitled Believe, Act Like... Well, part of it was Believe is the big series. We did Believe, Think Like Jesus in the fall, and now we're doing Act Like Jesus. Now we're going to talk about Be Like Jesus soon enough in the spring here, but we're 15 weeks into our 30-week study, and I think it's been a good and amazing study. The, something about coming back to the basics is not ever a bad thing. And in the fall, with this idea of thinking like Jesus, I like to review, and I know we do this all the time, but I want us to remember what we've talked about, where we've come from. But we talked about these theological standing blocks, these foundational blocks that we can base our faith on. And they are, some of them are, I won't hit them all, but the fact that God of the Bible is the one true God. And we talk about the fact that some struggle with that, but that if we call ourselves followers of Christ, that is what we say we believe in. That he is the one true God, that he's a personal God who loves us and wants to have a relationship with us. And because of that, he designed a system that he might walk with us and restore a relationship with him. We walk in a very personal manner, a renewed manner, a manner in which we were created for. And then from there, we have this new calling in our life. We have this new family called the family of God, the body of Christ. We have new purpose. We have new giftedness and skills that God has given us to be used for his good. That we're called to use our time, our talent, our treasures for his sake and for his kingdom's sake. We look forward to being good stewards of that, and we look forward to eternity of worshiping him as who he is. And then we went from this theological understanding, this foundational principles that we believe in, to what does that look like in practice, to act like Jesus, to do the things that he did. And we talked about worship, and man, what a wonderful time of worship this morning. But we talked that worship is not just a 1 hour or 1.5 hours on Sunday morning. Worship is 168 hours a week of our committed life to Christ, to follow him. And we talked about prayer as this amazing thing that we can't totally understand, and yet we know is so vital to our relationship with him, that God desires us to come with our needs, our desires, our praises, and our praise to lift him up. And Pastor Dustin challenged us a few weeks ago in the area of Bible study. He spoke about the fact that, if you want to know the answers to life, we've got a manual, folks, and you can open it up and you can get to know it and you can find the answers for what you need in life. And it's just as vital today and just as relevant today as it was 2 or 4 or 6,000 years ago, whenever it was written. It still applies. He challenges us to memorize scripture. And as a staff, we've been memorizing scripture. We've been working together. I'm up to 10 verses. I don't know about the rest of you guys. This is a little challenge. I'm ready for Wednesday staff meeting. But what a joy it is to pour worship and scripture into our hearts. And then last week, we talked about this idea of being single-minded. Coming and understanding there is a true north. And that is Christ himself and our desire to be like him and to follow hard after him. We talked about this fact that life throws so many things at us, that it's more important that we have our compass correct than our calendar or our day timer. That it's not about fitting Christ into life. It's about putting him at the center of everything and letting everything else surround that if needed at all. The challenge last week was that if you put God as A, then all the B's will take care of themselves. But if you make God B, there's no space for it because the A's will take over. And there will be plenty of A things to take place in our life if we put Christ as B. And today we come and we kind of follow up on that idea with this idea of total surrender. That we are called to not only know what true north is, but to give it all to him, for him, and on behalf of him, and to him, and he will work through us. So today we want to talk about this, that the idea that the things that we have geared towards for this last 15 weeks stand at the point of the pinnacle of total surrender. That all those things we talked about have no meaning if we don't give our all to Christ. It's one nice thing to know that the Bible has good answers. It's another thing to know how to pray. It's one thing to know that God is a God that is true and real and big and creator of all, and that he is a personal God. And all those things are wonderful, but it all pivots on whether we give everything to him or not. And everything we'll talk about from here on, we'll look back to that point and say, you know what? It doesn't matter what my gifts are if I don't give him everything. It doesn't matter if I'm a good steward if we don't give him everything. It doesn't matter if I strive to have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control if I'm not surrendered completely to him. Those fruits of the Spirit are wonderful things and can be a taste of our life, but when we surrender all to Christ, those things become abundant in our life and they live their fullness through us. And I want us to not miss the point where we stand today. That this idea of total surrender, it's one thing to know what true north is, it's another thing to start moving that direction. It's another thing to give up everything that hinders us from running the race that we're supposed to, like we talked about last week. Run the race marked out for you. Strive hard after Christ. Don't be the runner who's running for the finish line and is looking to see where everybody else is to see, you know, maybe I'm a little bit further ahead, I can slow down. No, you run hard after the goal that's been set for you. I'm not a runner, but I hate watching any track and field event where anybody who's a trained athlete stops and looks back before they've hit the finish line. And some of the greatest athletes still do it. But in our single-mindedness, we're called to total surrender to everything forward, nothing behind. For everything for Christ, nothing left over for what if it doesn't work out, or what if I don't like it, or what if it doesn't feel right. We're called to full, total surrender of all things. The question we have to ask is, are you living the greatest life you could, that you were created for, that you were made for? And for all of us, the answer is no. Some of us are doing better than we used to. Many of us are doing better than others. But the question is, are we living the life that we were 100% uniquely created for in the fullness of Christ? Today we got a lot of scripture. I won't say that Ireland was complaining about that. No, she wasn't. But we're going to let scripture stand for itself again. I just want to rattle through, and I hate to say that, we'll rattle through. We're going to read some of these. They're amazing verses. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You were created for a very full life. You were created for a life of usefulness to Christ. You were created uniquely to do what God has created you to do. And there's two options: that the thief takes that and steals the joy from you, or that you live out that joy in single-mindedness and total surrender towards Christ. Matthew 16:24-26. Many of you know these words well. Some of you may never have heard them. But then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must not deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" And Jesus is saying, if you want to be my disciple, you pick up your cross, you follow me, you commit everything, and I'll guarantee you that you will not lose your life, but you will gain it. And yet we have so often said, let's go to plan B and protect those things because those are important in my life. And they're not. One person I read this week put it this way. It said, not Lord of all, not Lord at all. Not Lord of all, not Lord at all. And we can say, well, I've given God some of it and I've given God pieces of it. But the call in our life is total surrender of all things. Time, talent, treasures, family, friends, career, cars, houses, property, whatever you've got, God says, give it all to me and find your life. Hold on to it, put some in storage, keep some for a rainy day, and you won't live that full and complete life that I've created you for. So the question again is, are we living the life we're created for, the best life we could? Second question is, are we going to trust God with everything and to live by faith and not by sight? Because that's our problem. We see the world as it is. We see the problems before us, and we choose to live by sight, not by faith, because we think that we have to do certain things to get through this life that is before us. James 4:8 says, come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Got to come with clean hands and pure hearts, and we've got to purify our hearts because it's double-minded. It wants to follow God through Christ, but it also wants to do the things that it thinks it should do and needs to do. Passage in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 to 22, where John is recording the words of Christ speaking to the churches of Asia. This is the church of Laodicea. He says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears me or hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Christ speaks to these different churches, these seven churches, in different ways. And for Laodicea, he says, you know what? You're neither hot nor cold. You're not completely sold out. You're not completely given up. But I want you to be completely sold out to me. He says, because neither you are neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. And that word literally means vomit or spew. God wants to vomit us out of his mouth when he sees the lukewarmness of our heart. I didn't have time to really unpack this, but if you kind of know what's going on in Laodicea, it was a commercial mecca. A lot of business took place there, so a lot of money going through there. It was known for its fine clothing, and it was cloth, and it was known for this salve that they created there for the eyes. And what he's saying is, you think because you have money through business, and you think because you make good cloth and clothing because of your work there, and you think because you have the salve that you create because of whatever you have around you, that you have it made. And he says, I want to give you true gold refined in the fire. I want to give you cloth that is whiter than you could ever create. I want to give you clothes like you've never seen before, heavenly clothes. And I'm going to give you a salve that's going to clear your eyes up so you can actually see the truth. So this is not just some words. This is Christ saying, I know what you think you can rely on, and guess what? It ain't going to work. You need something bigger, something that comes from me. Come live on fire for me, not hot or not lukewarm, be hot or cold. Pick it, one or the other. Just real quick, 3 points for how we do this. How do we live in total surrender? And the first one and the third one are kind of the same, so the third one shouldn't take as long. But the first one is just simply, I will love God more than anyone, including myself. If you want to live in full surrender, love God more than anyone, including yourself. Luke 14:25-26 says, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. This is the way you're to live. Christ above everything. About 9 or 10 years ago, I preached this, and I know it was 9 or 10 years ago because Pastor Dustin wasn't here yet. And I spoke to this passage and passages like it. And in the middle of the service, a lady got up and walked out with her children. And after the service was done, she walked back in, came right to me in the front, and screamed at me. Said, "How dare you tell me about a God like this?" I mean, she was mad. "How dare you tell me about a God who would tell me to love him more than my children?" And she just let me have it. And I looked around and I knew Pastor Dustin wasn't here because he wasn't here. He would have been here. There wasn't a single elder in the room. I'm thankful for a couple who'd been in leadership in the church here for many years, who stayed close to hear what was going on and to make sure I was okay. She told me her 12-year-old daughter did not love Jesus anymore because of my sermon that morning. And she looked at me and she screamed, "I would hate to be your wife or your children." I've been in ministry for a number of years, but I'd only been a senior pastor for about a year, and I'm getting used to that gig still. And at that point, I'm still really getting used to it, and I didn't know what to say other than all I could say to her is, "I didn't write it. I just read it." But I think if you'd have stayed for the rest of the sermon, you would have understood. My wife and my children come before me, but not before Christ. And I got home, and Joanne said, "What was going on?" And I told her what happened, and Hannah came up to me and said, "Dad, have you ever," she was probably 10 years ago, how old was she? 14, 15 years old, said, "Dad, have you ever had a chance to choose Christ or me choose Christ?" And Joanne said, "Let me talk to her." Right? "I'll tell her a thing or two." I said, "No." Sad part was she was going through a tough marriage and her kids were everything to her. And all she heard was, "Hate your kids." The one thing that was solid in her life that brought her value. God was not telling her to hate her kids. God was telling her, in view of the love you have for me, it should seem like you hate your kids. And if we ever have a choice to make, I hope none of us have to make that choice. But the choice that we're called to in Scripture is to choose God first. And while we don't suffer with it, there are people who suffer for their faith around this world who honestly every day have to make a decision to follow Christ or to have their children in their life or their spouse. And they choose to follow Christ. Luke 9:59-62. He said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord. But first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts the hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Look forward. Single-mindedness, total surrender. We sing a song a lot. It's an old hymn we love, "I Surrender All." How many people know the song? I surrender all. All to him I freely give. No, that's the wrong beat. Sorry. "All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all." Terrible voice, I know. "I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all." I should read the words. I have them here. But what if we rewrote the words as they apply to our life? "Some to Jesus I surrender. Some to him I freely give. I will sometimes love and trust him, in his presence occasionally live. I surrender some. I surrender some. Some to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender some." Well, we don't sing that, but we live that way. And maybe the song is a good goal, but we need to remind ourselves that total surrender is how we need to live. The second point is that I will do what God says. I will give him everything. I will put him before everything, including myself. But I will do what he says. And there's a couple of verses here. One is Luke 6:46. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? You call me Lord, and yet you don't do what I say." John 14:21-24. "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and he will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. So very clearly, we'll just do what God says. We'll put him before everything, including ourselves. And then we'll do what he says. And then the third one is just simply kind of goes back to that first one, but a little further down the line is that we will have the right priorities. Back to this idea that we'll love God more. We put him first. But I think, if I remember right, one of the grades at Covenant last year, and maybe the kids are back in the Jujube's room, but they worked on the acronym of JOY that many of us have heard before. Jesus, others, you. Anybody do that in school? Any Covenant kids? You do that at a certain point? Mr. Simmons, the principal? Did you do that last year? Was that the school theme or was that? It was a classroom theme. So Jesus, others, you. It's just an easy way to remember. How do you have joy in life? Put Christ first. Put others second. Put yourself third. Gail Sayers, the great halfback for the Chicago Bears, that was famous for his playing, but also famous for his friendship with Brian Piccolo and the wonderful movie Brian's Song. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. Good Christian man wrote a book called I Am Third. There's a great I Am Second movement going on through Campus Crusade, but he wrote a book called I Am Third. He talked about putting Christ first, others second, and then himself third. And we need to know that that's the order that we should live in. I just want to read you one passage here. We got more, but I'm just going to read you one. So then he said to them, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. Repeat again, we've heard this before, but in a different version. Deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and lose their or forfeit their soul? Once again, this idea is that we have to give it all up. We have to put things in the right priority, follow him first, care for others second, and then we will see things in line. He talks about this cost. There's another passage where he talks about you're going to build a tower, you're going to go to war, you're going to count the cost. And there is a cost to following Christ, but there's also a cost to not following Christ. And sometimes we think about, well, it's going to cost me too much to follow him wholeheartedly, single-mindedly, total surrendered to him. But the cost of not following him is simply that you miss out on what God has prepared for you. So the last scripture here is 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 10. Just listen to these words. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit teaches all things, even the deep things of God. Go back to that middle part. And what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him and totally surrender to him. What's the cost of not following him? The cost is not living the best life you can. Not living the life that God has created you for. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. If you guys would come up and get ready. We're going to sing that song that we just ended with. We'll come to the altar. It's a great song. You were into it. I want you just to sit, and as they sing it, we're going to reflect on that song leading into communion. Don't come to the table yet. Dustin will lead you into that as we come. For those who are new with us, we do communion around the crosses around the room. If you're a follower of Christ, doesn't matter what church you're a part of, if you are a follower of Christ, you're welcome to come and to take part in this celebration time with us. The bread representing the broken body of Christ, the cup, his shed blood, to create a new covenant, to restore us into relationship with him, to wash our sins clean. He did the work. Come as individuals, come as family, come with friends. Grab the elements, sit down, sit at the altar if you need. If you even need to go out and find some space out there, go for it. But we're going to sing the song, we're going to reflect before we come. And I just want you to think about what it means to come to the altar and give everything over in total surrender to Christ. Because all of us in here are holding on to something or some things. And for some of you, It's that relationship. You know, God's saying, just give it over to me. And you're saying, but you know what? I like that relationship. I know what I'm doing in it. You're putting that relationship before Christ. Some of you are putting a hurt before Christ. You're saying, I just can't get over this one thing. Instead of saying, I surrender it to him, knowing that he will make it better. That he will bring slowly but surely healing to my life. Some of you are struggling to love your spouse like Jesus loved his church, even though he tells you to. And you need to come and give that to Christ. Because that's what you've been called to do. As our second point, do what he says. Some of you need to give up your narcotic of choice. That may be a literal narcotic. It may be alcohol or drugs. It may be something emotionally you hold on to because you just can't see letting go of it because you're trying to control it yourself. Give it over to him. Some it's your tithe, your finances, your stewardship of your stuff. You love your stuff too much. My money's my money. I'll control it. I'll take care of it. I'll give God some of it. He's not asking you to give all of it to him. He's just saying, be ready to give it all if I ask you to. Love him more than your stuff. Some of it's your spiritual gifts, your giftedness. He's gifted you in a certain way, and yet you don't want to give it over to serve him. For others, it's going outside your comfort zone to do what he's asked you to do. Whatever you're holding on to. This song, as we sing about, just think about, what do I need to let go and surrender totally to him? I don't expect that all of us get all of our stuff together here today with that, but this might be a good starting point. So in this first song, just think about that. Focus on that. Think about, what do I need to give over to him? And I'm not asking you to just give me your checkbook and say, you'll write a blank check for as much as you want because God told me to. If you want to, we'll go for that. But think about what the next step is to following him in total surrender. And then after that, Dustin will lead us into communion around the tables through singing of How Deep the Father's Love for Us. And come during that song as you feel led, and then we're going to end with, oh, praise the name of the Lord our God, and just celebrate as we come out of that. But take this first song just to reflect. And it kind of builds at the end, but that's okay. Let it build in excitement and energy with what God wants you to do. During the communion time, if you can't get up to come here, I will come around with the elements and serve you where you are. Just flag me down as we go. But let's pray for this time of reflection, this time of remembrance as we come to the cross. Father, you are an amazing God. You are a God that loves us, has created us, knows us better than anything else. You've called us to not only focus on you with single-mindedness, but you've asked us to surrender all to you. And Father, we would pray that we truly understand what it means to put you first and everything else second. That we would truly know what it means to follow you with all that we're supposed to do or not do. And Father, what it means to have the right priorities of you first and then others second, and then ourselves third. So Father, as we sing this song and reflect, and as we come to the table, we pray that you would just be encouraged by our coming to you. That we would be encouraged by your letting us come to you. Father, just allow us to be truthful and honest with our feelings and our thoughts, our holdbacks, and the things that we just don't want to give over to you. We ask that now in the name of Christ. Amen.